Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup, and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at carvana.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Core Queen Podcast. Welcome, welcome. I'm your girl, Didi Leggett, the Core Queen, who will be talking shit and getting fit physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. Okay. I want to welcome one of the most amazing men I know out here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I call him the real Renaissance man.
Oh, wow.
Y'all welcome my boy, No Limit Larry.
I'm looking on my 7-day water fast. So if I pass out during this interview, then y'all know why. Man, the 7-day water fast is day 3. Man, it's been all right though.
Please don't pass out on my water.
I ain't gonna pass out. I'm good. Let me like, you gave me some fentanyl and killed me on here.
I did not get him that water. He brought it himself. So
nah, he gave me this, y'all. So if I drink this and I fall out, it's my fault.
3 day, boy, you tripping. Listen, I don't know y'all. But for y'all who do not know who No Limit Larry is, y'all must been under a rock, because he is the man. He is No Limit Larry of No Limit Larry and the Morning Madhouse on Power 98, Charlotte, North Carolina, number one radio show. Look, if y'all don't know who he is, I don't know what to tell you.
Man, Google me, but all the bad stuff, take that out. But Google me.
You know what I mean?
Got the bad stuff? You got to shift through the bad stuff. Uh-uh. You know what I mean? It's all okay. It's okay.
Oh,
they say you ain't nobody if you ain't got nothing bad on you.
Yeah, you're right about that. You do clean. Something ain't right.
Something ain't right. You hide something. Ain't got nothing to hide. So see y'all my dirt.
I'm about to Google you.
I own it all. I mean, it's crazy because I don't know if you ever Googled yourself, but me and one of my partners Googled me the other day, and it was funny. Like, they got a whole Wikipedia page about me, how much I'm worth, and all kind of stuff.
Really?
I'm the owner of this. I'm like, I ain't never owned any of that stuff, but I take it. Pretty good. I was like, damn, somebody did a good job.
Oh, that is
somebody gonna go in there and be fooled.
Wow.
See? You know how y'all ladies do. Y'all Google dudes, like y'all meet a dude in the club. Let me Google this.
Yep.
They go in there and Google me. It was worth that many bands.
Oh,
I was like, yo, that's rough. Somebody did a good job. Whoever did it, appreciate you.
Oh my god.
It told them a lot of lies on there, but hey, I appreciate it.
That's what it's about. Hey, fake whatever it is. But you already made it, so damn.
Yeah, it's all good.
Look, so I'm interested because I'm not from Charlotte.
Okay.
So I'm trying to, get to know everybody here. And I'm interested in how you even got into radio.
Actually, I got into radio in college. I didn't even realize radio was a real job. Growing up, I was always the one talking on the playgrounds, playing basketball, playing football. And I actually wanted to be an actor. I pursued that career for a long time. As started out junior high school, it's now middle school, but for me, it was junior high school. Mm-hmm. I started out acting in plays. So like, a lot of people know Tyler Perry from his stage plays. I was out there on the road, not with Tyler, but we would be across the street at one venue. Tyler and his play would be at the venue across the street, or we'll be coming and they'll be going and vice versa. So I didn't even know like then how big stage plays was. I would just, sometimes when you in something, you in something, you don't realize it until later on. You're like, damn, I was out there with Tyler Perry. You know what I mean? I didn't realize it then, but So I wanted to be an actor, ended up going to college. And when I got to college, you know, they ain't really, they have theater. Mm-hmm. So that wouldn't have been, it could have been a major, but I was like, well, I'm gonna study business and then do theater as a minor. Okay. But when I got into it, I didn't like it. Mm. So I was going to just drop out of school. I was like, I'm just drop out of college and I just figured out. And I'd probably go back on the road with the States because I was still on tour with the States. Like, mm-hmm. And my college professor came to me. My college advisor was like, well, let's get your high school transcript. Let's see what you was good at in high school.
Okay.
See how that translates to college. So that's what we did. We sat down. We saw that I had a journalistic background, played a lot of sports. She was like, well, what about mass comm telecommunications? She was like, you know, like sports broadcast. I was like, oh yeah, I love to be, right. I love to be on TV. She was like, well, it's TV and radio. I was like, oh, okay, radio. Didn't realize it was a real job. So I got into it in college, and I had my first radio show in college.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. John C. Smith University.
Okay. Look at HBCU.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. Got to keep HBCU for sure.
Okay, that's interesting because I don't think I know anybody that like went to college and like has that degree. Like, personally.
Oh, either telecommunications, mass comm. Well, almost everybody I know in radio, either they don't have a degree or they do have a degree in mass comm. Mm. Like most of the most successful, or a lot of the successful ones do have a degree in mass comm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So what advice would you give a kid that's interested in following that path?
Now it's like for me, when we was coming into the game, it was harder because like back then people didn't have radio. It was nothing like this. It was no podcast. Mm-hmm. So you didn't have a way to practice your craft unless you did it on your own. Now, the kids now, they have a chance to practice their craft because they can create a podcast. They can come sit on podcasts. They still got the radio station available. So I would say, number one, find yourself because, you know, a lot of people get on TV or they get on radio and they're not themselves. They phony. They somebody that when you meet them, they not that person. And I pride myself on being the same person all the time. When you see me, I'm the same way all the time. People be like, is that the same? That's him. But that's because who I really am. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, now people appreciate people being authentic.
Yeah.
So be authentic, find your niche and who you are, and then just go practice. Whether you create your own podcast, whether you try to get an internship at a radio station, you got to practice. Definitely got to practice.
So when you were in college, did they have, because I know most colleges have their own radio station. Mm-hmm. Did they have a radio station?
Yeah, we had a radio station, WJCS. We was a pirate illegal radio station because we didn't have a license. Oh, yeah. But so the way we got away with it was because at first, when we first went on the air, we was podcasting beyond the campus. Like we covered like most of Bates Ford Road, and all of John C. Smith. So since we were so small, we weren't really on the radar as far as FCC license. So we was called a pirate radio station. So yeah, we had a radio station. I crazy enough. I did mornings. I did nine to eleven, and I used to just talk about crazy stuff, and it would come on in the calf, and people would hear it, and they'd be like, "Man, you crazy." I'd be like, "Man, I just talk about what y'all talk about." That was my way of practicing. But once I got to Power 98 as an intern, it was the world. It was different. It was a different world.
Okay. Yeah. I was gonna ask, did you do an internship at Power 98?
Oh yeah, man, I did an internship. My mentor at the time, RIP, rest his soul, Nate Quick. He came to John C. Smith, spoke to a class, and he asked, did anybody want to intern? Me and about three or four other people said, yeah. Nate took our number down. He didn't call me for like about 2 months. I forgot I even told this dude I want to intern. I'm standing in my living room one day. My phone ring. My mom asked for phone. She was like, some dude on the phone for you. So I get the phone and he's like, yo, bro, man, bro, you been talking to my girl, bro. I'm like, what? He's like, bro, yeah, I found my girl number in your phone, bro. Like, nah, bro, we got to meet up. We going to fight. I'm like, bro, what's your girl? I'm like, bro, pull up. Like, you know what I mean? I'm going out. So he started laughing. He's like, nah, man, this Nate Quick. You met me at John C. Smith. You remember, you still want to intern. I'm like, oh, yeah, for sure. So he was like, come into the office. You know, we'll set it up. So I went in probably like the next week, set it up. And I've been in Power 98 ever since that day.
Oh, my goodness. That's crazy. Ever since that day.
Started as an intern from dirt and rocks in the bottom.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever done like a shadow program to let like a like kids come up there to watch what you do?
Oh yeah, we definitely do shadow programs because you know, for me, it's big to pass it down to the next generation. What's so crazy is like, you know, I got kids, but it like none of my kids don't seem like they want to do this. And I'm like, I don't know why. Like your dad has done it at such a high level. Why wouldn't you want this? I don't know if they don't see it as a real job. I don't know. But they don't like most of them don't really. Like I would say about one or two of them kind of like it and kind of see like, you know what I mean? Like how it go. So my thing is passing it down to the next generation. So if people hit me up all the time, hey bro, can I come through? Can I shadow? Can I follow you to out on location? I'm like, yeah, come do it. Cause somebody gave me the opportunity. So I definitely want to be, you know, that lifeline for somebody else. We do it. We can't do it as much as we used to just because of corporate parameters, but we still do it and get away.
That's pretty dope. Like,
we work it out.
That's good. Who wouldn't want to shadow No Limit? Like he's funny. The kids love
you. Work though. Like you come up there to that radio station, you're gonna work.
Gonna work.
You're gonna do something.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So who are the three most memorable guests that you've interviewed?
Oh, this is real easy. Chief Keef.
Okay.
Webby.
Oh.
Okay. And the third could be either Will Smith, Master P, or Barack Obama.
You interviewed Barack Obama?
I definitely did twice. What? And Michelle.
What?
Yes, it was crazy. Like, Barack was so cool. Like, I remember asking him, like, who he listened to. Like, hip-hop. He was like, he listened to 50. Like, I listened to 50? I was like, what? Like, I listen to Weezy. I listen to G's. I'm like, man, Barack, you lying.
Oh, my.
He like, nah, man, I still got this interview. I got it saved somewhere. I still got it. But, nah, he was so cool. Then we ended up talking to Michelle. You know, she talked about her fitness program that she got. She called in to talk about that. Also talked to Hillary when she was running for president. You know, I've been at this thing for a minute, but my memorable guests for good and bad, Chief Keef was terrible.
Why?
Man, you know, if you do an interview with somebody that don't talk, that's the worst interview. You know what I mean? As an interviewer, you know, if you do an interview with somebody they don't talk, it's the worst interview. Because you're trying to get information. They just, I don't know if he was high. He was uninterested. He was new in the game. And he was just, I don't know if he just wasn't interested. But he was a terrible interview. Webby was hilarious.
Really?
Hood dude out playing with his dog. Man, my dog getting away. I got to go get my dog. Man, he was funny. Like him, Webby, Boosie, anytime you interviewed him, you're going to get raw. Webby, Boosie, Trick Daddy, you're going to get raw and real. Rugged, whatever they do. I interviewed Trick Daddy. He was outside, like he outside doing Trick Daddy. It was hilarious. But you know, like I said, people love people that's authentic and they authentic every time.
Yeah, Trick Daddy. You know, I was on his cooking show. So
you were?
Yes,
and it. You so you know.
Yes,
you know,
and he is Trick Daddy.
Trick Daddy. Listen, people ask me all the time, "Who is the realest rappers you ever met?" I'm like, "Bro, Trick Daddy ain't even no. He just a hood dude that happened to get famous from rap."
He gonna say
what he want. Him, Boosie, Webby, like they gonna say what they want to say. Stand on it.
Yep.
Be on their platform and it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I respect that.
Yep. And they got their core fan base. Got their core fan base. Nothing.
Ain't worried about nothing. And their core fan base want that rawness and that realness. So that's how they you can't cancel them, dude.
Absolutely.
You can't cancel neither one of them.
They keep trying to cancel Boosie. He ain't going
you
nowhere.
Can't cancel Boosie.
He's uncancelable.
His fans, his core fan base, is just like him. And they think and move just like him.
And we love him.
We love Boosie. Shout out to Boosie Boo. My dog.
Yeah. So is it anyone that you haven't interviewed that you would want to interview?
Eminem. I definitely want to sit down with Eminem. Michael Jordan is still on my list. Like I've seen Mike. Like I've interacted with Mike. I've hosted parties for Michael Jordan. But I want to sit down and do a real sit down interview with Mike. That's at the top of my radio bucket list is Michael Jordan. Like if somebody came to me right now and said who you could interview tomorrow, you'll be good. Michael Jordan, hands down. I want because I like to talk to people stuff outside of their normal. Mm-hmm. Like people talking about Mike about basketball all the time. Right. I don't want to talk about that. I mean, we could talk about that too, but that's not what I want to talk about.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, Michael. Okay,
I want to talk about Mike. You know, with stuff with him and his brother. Like, you know, his brother Larry. Like a lot of people, if you've never seen Come Fly With Me, if you never know, you don't know the Michael Jordan story. you don't know that his brother was really supposed to be the one. Larry was Larry, like me. Larry Jordan was really supposed to be the one.
Oh, really?
He the one who drove Mike to what Mike is. But a lot of people don't know that unless you know the Michael Jordan story.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh man. That
so that's interview. Kind of stuff I want to talk about.
Okay. That'd be a great interview.
Yeah, I definitely want to do Mike. Mike, I would say Mike, Eminem, even LeBron, you know, because a lot of people talk to LeBron about crazy stuff too. You know what I mean? I would love to sit down with LeBron. I like to pick LeBron's brain because I love what he does business-wise.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, he gave all his homeboys around him a chance to be something. And he took them boys from nobody knew who they was. Like, mm-hmm. He got the number one sports agent in the world. And that man didn't know nothing about that.
Right.
He just said, hey, bro, I know who I am, and I'm going to let you be this. And that's important for people to do. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he get enough credit for that.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even staying down with his woman, because a lot of people get up.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Don't switch it up on that girl too.
Oh.
You touch a nerve over there. I don't got nothing to do. I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what she's talking about.
Don't nobody switch up on me. I'm good.
Oh, okay. Didn't nobody switch up on you? They ain't never switched up on you. That's a good thing. Ron and Savannah been down since middle school. You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
That's dope.
Though. I love it.
That's dope.
Love it.
And so she knows who he is. He knows who she is. And they make it work, whatever it is and however it is.
Yeah.
And another thing you love about LeBron, you don't hear no controversy about LeBron.
Nope. None.
Like people be, you can't even stir up nothing on him. Like you can't even, he don't even be nowhere for you to stir up nothing on him. No. So I respect all that.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Now, why would Eminem be on
because, like, so people don't know this, but I'm a book reader. Like, mm-hmm. I read books. And I read Eminem's book, and I just want to talk to him about, you know, stuff that I read in the book. Him just getting in the game, him being, you know, kind of the first white rapper to the degree that he's done it.
Right. Right.
And do it. Like, just talk to him about stuff like that. And, you know, also being a father going through that situation with his daughter and his baby mama, how that played out. He played a big part in that. He talked about that in his book, his drug addiction. He talked about that in his book. He also talked about, you know, growing up in Detroit, his homeboy Proof, how Proof put him on, how Proof got killed. He talk about all that. So
okay.
Just stuff like that. Like I read books a lot. So like when I interview artists, a lot of times I tell them, I read your book. They be like, what? I read your book. Like I'm a book reader.
Okay.
On the low. Yeah. People don't know that about me. I got a whole bookshelf at home full of books. I was like, y'all think these books is in it? Like I probably got over 100 books. Out of 100, I probably read at least 60 or 70.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at you. Well, one thing I do know about you is that you're a huge community advocate. You are always in the community, always giving back, and not just giving money. You're like boots on the ground, out there. You out there. You doing it all. So what, if you could kind of, I know it's a lot, but what are some of the underutilized resources in Charlotte that maybe some people don't really know about?
Actually, a lot of people don't know the CMPD, the Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department. They have a lot of youth resources that we don't tap into because we don't fuck with the police.
Yeah.
But believe it or not, if you go to their website, they have a lot of youth.
Really?
A lot of youth. They do. They have a lot of youth resources. We don't use it because, like I said, we don't fuck with the police. But that's one. I would definitely say 311 is actually 211 is a good resource for like housing and stuff like that. A lot of people don't know that. You call 211, they can help you, and 311 can help you do a lot of stuff. Of course, you know, we do things with the homeless, with Block Love Charlotte. I think that's an underserved resource.
Yes,
because we took on a program that was grassroots, and we decided we're gonna do this every day. And if going from feeding once on the weekend to every day is crazy, unheard of, and we made it work. We definitely have made it work. But it's been through, you know, Charlotte, the people of Charlotte support through the county coming in and supporting. Shout out to my man Anthony Troutman coming in and supporting. My man Mark Jarrell, county commissioner, coming in support. And just a host of other folks. My man Malcolm Graham jumped in, was like, listen, this organization is really doing the work. And that's what we, you know, we got a saying amongst people that do the work, like, chase the work, not the money. You chase the money, you'll never get the work done because you're too busy chasing the dollar. But if you do the work, the money will come. I promise you it'll come. And you learn, like, so since I've been, I would say I'm kind of full time in it. I've learned a lot over the last 4 years about nonprofits and how they work and how you get money for nonprofits and who you need to talk to, what door you need to knock on, and how you need to go about it the right way. And I think a lot of nonprofits make mistakes because they go about getting money the wrong way. Okay. I ain't gonna give y'all our secrets, but yeah.
Well, you can give me some after the show.
It's gonna cost you. Yeah, give me a lap then.
Oh my God.
I just play. You said it's Cookie Queen Podcast. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. These just jokes.
Oh my God, you are crazy. All right. Well, since we are in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I want to, and you are in music. I mean, you know, you kind of know a lot.
I know a little something.
You know a lot. So I want to know who I'm gonna split it up.
Oh, boy.
Who is your North Carolina and South Carolina? Who's on your Mount Rushmore of music?
I'm not doing it.
I want you to do like big scale artists.
Big scale. I don't matter. I'm not doing it.
Why?
I'm not doing it because every time you do a Mount Rushmore of artists, right? Somebody gonna get left out.
That's the point.
And when I see them on the street, they go, bro, I don't feel E, but I don't do it no more.
Oh my God. Not even upcoming artists?
Nah, I won't do it.
Why?
Because it's too many. I can't narrow it down to four.
Okay, what about 10?
10?
Yeah.
I might give you 10, and I still don't want to do that.
Why?
Because somebody going to be in their feelings.
Well, they ain't that good then. If they ain't top 10, they ain't that good. They need to work on their craft.
But it's not even that, though. It might be somebody that I don't know of, or I haven't heard.
Well, how about you say charges to my head, not my heart. This is my top 10. If I forgot you, forgive me.
This ain't my top 10, but I'm going to say I give you artists that I've seen putting in work.
There you go. And it ain't got to be in no order.
I ain't got to be in no order.
Yep.
Money Train, Raphael Rattler.
Shout out to Money Train.
He's been putting in work. Lil Jon 4K.
Absolutely.
She's been putting in work. Hot Boy Shaq.
Yes,
definitely
indeed.
Been putting in work. My man Chezzy Boy, even though he's an artist, but with that camera,
he's been putting
in work. So you got me thinking now. what's a little kid now? Lil Tay 400, you might not know him. Lil Tay 400, and then all the females been killing the game. Rissa Rain, Mary Mack, Nia Nicole, they've been killing it. Lil Cash been killing it. My man, Money Only Mo is crazy records. It's a lot. North Carolina and South Carolina, it's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So this is some of the folks that I've seen really been putting in work and kind of knocking on the door. We got a couple records in the last couple weeks on the next big thing on the show that like, I'm like, yo, Coach Lingo, he just dropped off a record that was crazy. It was a kid about 2 weeks ago. He got 100, but his record was dope. I can't remember who it is.
Okay.
As Dub, number 3, he always put in work. I'm trying to think of some of the people that got 100. We play at 9 o'clock. Cause if you get 100 or a high score on the next big thing, you got a chance to be played, in our local rotation at night, which is at 9 o'clock. We play two local songs back to back. And it's a lot of people that has went on to do that.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
So, you know, Charlotte.
Pressure Gang. Oh, my man locked up. But Pressure Gang. Hey, Pressure Gang like that, though.
That was such a hood shout out.
Oh, like, Pressure Gang, my man locked up. You know, yeah. Free Ziggy.
Oh, my God. I cannot with you. You are hilarious. Free Ziggy. I don't know you, but Free Ziggy.
Yeah.
He gonna appreciate that. Until you say it back.
Pressure Gang. You already know.
So, you know, I'm military, so I moved to a whole bunch of different states.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I've noticed about Charlotte in particular, which is it kind of blew my mind a little bit, maybe it's me outside looking in. I don't know.
Okay.
It's not, it doesn't seem as supportive as the other places
right.
that I've
now
I've
you're
lived
right.
in.
Okay. Yeah, that's not the outside looking in.
Okay.
On the inside looking out is the same way. And I would say because for a long time it was, I don't want to say cliquish, but kind of cliquish. It was kind of neighborhoodish. Like these people in this hood didn't mess with the people in this hood. Or, you know, you couldn't go over there because it's, you know, whatever, whatever. Now, like, we're moving in a different direction.
Okay.
Like with this new wave, a lot of people are seeing collaboration over competition.
Okay.
And that's the saying on the street. Let's collaborate. That's even in business, in nonprofits, with artists. They see like it's power numbers. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the baby who went in there and kicked the door down musically for rappers.
Right.
Cause we had already kicked the door down musically for R&B with, we already did Carolina, Charlotte. We already did R&B.
Right.
But he kicked it down for rappers. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people knocked on the door. He went in there and kicked it down. So now a lot of people see we can get it done, but it's going to take everybody to get it in. Yeah. Oh, and another person that I just thought of who put in their work. My man, she from the foe.
I seen him compete somewhere.
Yeah. Nah, she like
he's
that.
Good.
See, you put me on the spot. And I'm on this water diet. My brain ain't working. So I'm telling y'all, man, don't jump on this. Time. Why you name me? Thanks,
oh, my God. So do you think that the way that it's moving, that it'll start helping get them noticed on a global scale?
Yes, because it's power in numbers.
Absolutely.
So if we all got together, and we talk about this in radio, if we all get together and say, look, this artist right here, we're going to push this artist. And then this artist, you agree, when you get on, you get shows, you bring this artist, it'll start taking off like wildfire. Same thing Atlanta did. When Outkast made it, you know, it was part of Dungeon Family. So they brought the rest of the Dungeon Family. Then they went and got somebody. Then they went and got somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kept going. Then the trap era came. Then that trapper put that trap on the record. And then here we go.
And now that's how it is in Memphis. Like,
yeah, Memphis got the game right now.
Yeah.
But that's because Gotti went and signed. If you was halfway high, he went, well, I'm trying to sign you. And if he wasn't signing them, Dolph was signing them.
Yep.
So it was a competition, but the competition was so crazy. Like, we got real talent in our city, but it takes that one big artist. Like, Gotti and Dolph was the biggest artist in the city.
Right.
Hands down.
Right.
It took them to say, hey, let me bring this guy. Let me bring him on tour. Now, his fans became the other artist fans.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it go.
Yeah.
And you need like that big artist when they make it, they gotta
bring people.
Let me bring him. Or if I bring this person, they ain't working, well, let me grab somebody else.
That
and you
part.
Just gotta keep doing it. And it's gotta be like Gotti, like I said, Gotti signed everybody. Glorilla, SDG, Mazin, 42 Doug. He signed everybody.
He
if
did.
You was hot, I want you. Pooh Shot, they got every money bag. He signed everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody. But now two times. If you halfway hot, come on, bro. We're gonna see what to do. And it just kept growing because they was, like I said, they got the train and they let everybody ride it.
Sounds like a smart plan to me.
Yeah, I mean, but like I said, it takes more than just the big artist. It takes the big artist, then it'll take radio. But if the biggest artist, like we take the biggest artist that's from our city that's on, whoever that is, and they grab a person, say, look. I'm going to support this person every time I'm on tour, every time I'm on TV. I'm going to say this is my artist. I'm going to chip. But behind that, though, the artist that's coming got to have good business and good music.
Yeah.
If you got good business and good music, and that's all you need is that extra flame.
That's it.
So you're going to take off.
That's it.
Yeah. It worked.
I agree.
It's a foolproof plan.
I agree.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say anything. So I'm going to just keep it neutral. Okay, why does it seem like hip hop is the only genre with an age limit?
Oh wow. How can you say that when Jay is how old Jay is? Nas is how old Nas is.
Well, they didn't come in that age though.
They didn't come in that age. That's true. I just think people just I think you know what happens is the older generation they outgrow it. Like, you know, what these young boys talking about today. Like, if I'm just getting the game and I'm 45, I'm not going to talk about it. Or it's not going to make, I ain't going to know the lingo. So it's not going to be hip. It's not going to be cool. I'm just like an old ass uncle rapping about what these young boys rapping about. So it works in R&B because the platform is kind of like the same.
So what about, like, for instance, this is what I mean why I don't want to say no names. There are gatekeepers in this region.
Mm-hmm.
and they aren't willing to sign certain artists because of their age. And they may not be that old.
Right.
Hip-hop is old.
Because of that mentality and what I just said, because of the way they think the consumers are going to look at it. Mm-hmm. That's how. So if I'm a label or if I'm a gatekeeper and I got money, I'm saying, so that means I'm investing something, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to put my money up for something. So if I'm going to put my money up for it, it's got to work. Right. If I don't think the people going to buy it, then why would I invest in it? That's like investing in a stock that you know that's gonna fail. Why would I do that?
And does that? But you mentioned earlier, but that's only kind of like in the rap game.
In the R&B world is different though, because even if you're older and you look young, you can get away with it. Mm. The rap thing is because it's a different lingo. R&B, the lingo is the same.
Right.
It ain't changing.
Right.
It's the same. Rap, it changes. So you got to be able to do that and look a certain way and feel a certain way. Now, R&B, I think you can pull it off because music, I think on the R&B side, good music is good music. Yeah. But with rap, it's a lot more to come with that.
Okay. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
But I think you could, if I'm a person and I believe in somebody's talent, then I'm going to put my money up for it. But I think you got to have a plan to go with it. Like if you got somebody who got real talent and they're a little bit older, you got to have a real plan to go with it. Right. You got to work that plan. Yeah. You can't give up on it.
I agree with that too. Yeah. I just hate to see hip hop artists particularly give up on their dreams because of their age, because there's so many other ways they can get into that. It doesn't have, like, you don't have to be the main artist on the
stage. At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You
can go be a ghostwriter. You can go do other things.
I'm going to tell you what Master P told me a long time ago. He said fame is one of the biggest drugs in the world. Mm. People want to be famous. A lot of people rather be famous than rich.
And I want the opposite.
I'm not the type. If I got be in front of the camera and still have $2, $3, $4, $5 million, I'm good.
Because I still want to go to Walmart.
I'm good. Yeah. But a lot of people, especially when you've had a taste of it, and that's when this is what P was talking about in the interview when they were talking. When you've had a taste of fame, it's hard, number one, to let it go. And then number two, you always trying to recapture that moment. Mm. That fame. Man, you ever stood on the front of a stage and it's, I don't care if it's 100 people in there and they're singing your words or they feeling you. It's addicting.
Yeah.
And it's hard to let that go.
Yeah.
For some people, I'm a money person. I don't give a damn about no fame. Money. Because when it comes to hosting and doing stuff like that, like I'm in there for the money. I don't care. Man, listen. I'm trying to get that bag. But a lot of people can't do that. They can't, well, let me write the record. Let me write the record and give it to this person. I know I'm hot. I know I can write good records. And I know I can do it on stage, but this person, it might be better for this person. And they younger or whatever, let me give it to them. I'm going to help them. Either way, we still eat together as a team. It's hard,
they
though.
They can't do it. It's hard. They want that fame.
Like, Master P told me a long time ago, fame is one of the biggest drugs in America. And people don't think about it, though. Think about a rapper or somebody you know that you know they should have stopped rapping a long time ago. Still rapping.
Wait. I just imagine somebody.
They still rapping.
Oh, man.
I mean, I'm a big artist, too. Well, big artist, everything. You like, bro, what the?
Yo.
Why is you still rapping?
It's terrible.
Hey, boy, you 48. 50. You 50.
Secondhand.
See, like you said, like Jay and them can still pull it off.
Right.
Because Jay and them content is grown content now.
Right.
They've grown. But they started early.
Yeah.
And even the rappers that started later, they grow. They content grow with them. So.
Yeah. Because I remember a show we went to, and I don't know these people, but they was up there rapping.
Like, what are you doing?
And I was like, this ain't for real. Like, y'all serious? Right. Oh my God.
It's the fame. Like, once you've been famous to a certain and for some people, it could be a little bit of fame.
Yeah.
They always want to get back. I got to get that back.
Oh. Yeah, that's an addiction.
Definitely an addiction.
Okay. So,
you crazy. rolling.
Y'all better get it together. I don't know what to tell you. We need electricians too.
You said we need electricians too. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, I got a light in my house that needs fixed. So, the electrician out there hit.
I got sliding DDD.
I need.
I got some TVs. I need hung up.
Yeah, you know, and them people make money too.
A lot of money.
They make a lot of money. Know how hard it is to hang a TV?
Man, listen, it's been sitting in my son. So what advice would you give to an upcoming artist trying to break into the industry? What would you, what can they do?
Same thing I would tell somebody getting in the radio. Know yourself. Know what you're looking for. Know what you expect out of this game, because a lot of people want to get in it. They don't know what they want. They don't know if they want the fame. They don't know if they want the money. That's one of the first questions I'll ask the artist. Like, what you want to do? Like, what you want out of this? Mm. And a lot of them be like, I just want to be heard. I want some money. Because that's what I want out the game. I want some money. But a lot of artists say that. And that's cool. But nice. If that's what you want to do, you just want to be heard. But those are the artists that get taken advantage of, too, because you just want to be heard. I don't care nothing about no money. All right, cool. Because the boys behind you that's investing and that's going to push you, they care about the money. You don't. You already told them. You told them up front. I don't care nothing about no money. I just want to be heard.
Right. Okay.
Well, we're going to get you heard. We're going to get paid. I'm one of the ones who won't get paid. That's just me personally. But I would say know what you want out of the game. Mm-hmm. Know what you want out of the game. Create your own lane, your own niche. And if you're going in somebody else's lane, just know what lane you're getting into. Because a lot of people are afraid to step in somebody's lane, which it happens in music. But if you are going to somebody's lane, know what lane you're getting into and know what they expect in that lane. But the best thing is to have your own and just be that. And the third or fourth thing will be your fan base. Feed your fan base. I don't care if you got three fans. I don't care if you got three fans. Make sure them three fans, you feed them what they want from you. Because them three fans can eventually turn to 30. That 30 turn to 300. That 300 to 30,000.
Yeah.
If you play it right. Mm. I learned that from Master P too.
Okay, Master P.
He talk about it a lot.
Because I was a talent manager in my former life.
Okay. Talent manager? You were managing some talent?
I was managing some talent. Anyway.
What you do as a talent
don't
manager?
Don't do that.
I want to know. Now I got some questions. What you do as a talent manager?
I manage an artist named Money Train.
Oh, you didn't have to say no names. I was just saying, like, What does a talent manager do? I
don't know what other talent managers
did.
I did it all.
What's the job description?
I'm gonna tell you. I book shows.
Mm-hmm. As a talent manager's job. Okay. I'm this.
I made sure all his publishing was right for his songs. I helped him book his. I helped write the. What do you call those things for the videos?
Oh, treatments.
The treatments video for the video treatments. Yes. I went over them, you know, edited them, make sure everything was good. Make sure I was at the video shoots to make things everything went right.
Yeah.
We traveled. I booked flights, hotel, all that stuff.
You might be you going back into that profession, or you gave up on that?
Oh no, never. I never.
You want another artist or that?
No,
I got two. That's
absolutely not.
You
no.
Why not?
I'm good.
You know what?
No. Okay. I learned a lot. Let me tell you, I learned a whole lot.
Music game is treacherous.
And that was one of the things I was going to mention about, you know, artists trying to break into the industry. Mm-hmm. One thing that I learned about new artists, not Money Train, but artists like that we ran into and we would talk to, especially the younger ones, is like they don't really understand how much work it takes.
Right.
They are really intrigued with the glitz and the glam.
Right.
Oh, I can go to the studio, make a song.
I think I get a song halfway on the radio and I'm on.
Yeah.
Bro, you ain't even started work yet, bro.
And that's why they fall off so quick, because there's so much.
They don't understand doing interviews. They don't understand doing travel. They don't understand booking shows. Like, all they want to do is make records.
Yep.
Some of them like doing shows, but. But it's deeper than that.
Yeah. And how much money is involved in that?
Oh, yeah.
The investment is excruciating.
Yeah, you definitely got to make an investment.
Yeah, and this is money for years and years and years and years and years that you may never see.
You may never recoup it.
Yeah, you may never recoup the money.
It's just like playing lotto or playing the stock market.
Yeah, absolutely.
You put it in there and maybe it pop, maybe it don't.
Yeah,
that's how you really got to look at the music game.
Yeah,
if you ain't got money to spend and money that you might not recoup back, this ain't the field for you.
It ain't. And that was one of the things that I kind of didn't understand. And even before this, I didn't understand like how so many people want to be in this industry where it's like only 1 to 2% of people make it.
Right.
And it's like, it's so many more people that do things that make a whole bunch of money too.
Yeah.
And the likelihood of you making it in that is way more than this industry.
But I think it's ways to recoup your money without album sales. Like you can make it off shows. You can make it off. You definitely can still make it off album sales, but you got to establish that core fan base.
Because mm-hmm.
you feed that core fan base, they're going to buy your records. A fan going to buy your records.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or buy or support whatever you got going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree. Yes.
Merchandise is big.
Mm-hmm.
That's how a lot of artists make money, is their merchandise.
Yeah. Got to push it.
Got to push
that
it.
That marketing is the hardest thing for artists to do.
Got to sell it. Got to sell it. Got to push it.
Yeah.
I don't care if you got to get, if your fan base is 500 fat women, get them 500 fat women what they want.
They buying it.
Damn,
they right. going to buy it.
They going to buy it. But you got to get them what they want.
Yeah. So I don't know. That industry definitely isn't for me.
Why not?
No, thank you.
You would never go back?
No.
Why you would never go back? No. Give me a reason.
It's too
cutthroat.
Not even the cutthroat part of it. It's just too, to me, it's demonic.
Demonic?
Yeah.
I've heard that before. It is. It is to a certain degree.
And then I guess.
But you don't have to engage in the demonic part.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you can still be.
And I think because it's not my dream. Yeah. So I don't necessarily have to do it. And so I'm not like.
I got you. You lost the passion.
I lost a lot of money. I don't know the passion shit.
Well, you know, losing money make you lose passion.
Listen. And also, I think being in the room with people, like these people are really passionate about what they do.
Right.
So they're willing to do any and everything for it. And I'm sitting there like, I'm going home.
Right.
Like, I don't even do this.
Right. I feel what you got. Let a lot of people don't understand it. Like, a lot of people don't understand, like, the entertainment industry, period. Like, even some things we had to do on our side, like, you know, the late nights, the early mornings, I might get 2 hours of sleep and I'm back on the road or I'm back here, I'm back there. A lot of people don't understand it. They don't understand I got to go show up to this place or I got to sit down with this person and they don't understand it. They don't get it.
They don't see any of that back behind
you. They don't get
you at a show. You put the clips up or what happened and then that's it. Yeah. Being on that tour with Trina.
Yeah. That's, shout out to Trina.
That was exhausting. Like, oh my God. I said, oh no, no.
That's Tour Life.
Oh no.
Tour Life. Everybody think Tour Life. Hey, listen, Tour Life is work.
It is exhausting.
It's work.
Man, listen, I'm like, no, I think I'm going to go home.
See what I'm saying? See what I'm saying? Nah, man, you want to live this life? You got to get out here and live this life.
I don't want to live that life.
What did you say? You don't want to do it.
That ain't my ministry.
Okay.
Mm-mm. But I learned a lot. And then shout out to Money Train because he taught me a whole lot.
That's
what I knew nothing about. You know,
me personally, like, I met Money Train just coming down to Rock Hill. And I always tell him, bro, you got the talent. Mm-hmm. And I know this music thing get hard and it can make you feel like you ain't got no talent. It can make you, one day can make you feel like I'm the biggest artist in the world.
Yep.
I do this. The next day you'd be like, I don't feel like I ain't got no talent. But I told him, keep going, man. Sometimes it takes 12 years or 15 years to make an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know. And I say that because a lot of people don't know VIC, The Wobble. Mm-hmm. That song was out for like 5 years before it took off.
Really?
VIC put that song out. It was out for like four or five years before it took off. But when it took off.
It took off.
It's a legendary song.
We run into the dance floor
right now. Yes. But and that's how you got to look at it. Like if this was something I'm really passionate about, this is something I really want to do. You just never know when that break gonna come. Yep. That's your day.
Yeah, that's why I told him. I said never give up on your dreams.
Yeah,
sometimes you got to recalibrate and reprioritize some things. But
you got to stay with it.
That's crazy.
You got to stay with it because and the thing about it is a lot of people think, well, I got to. If I ain't doing 20 shows or a year or 20 shows a month, I'm not successful. That's not true.
No.
That's not true. And I know plenty of artists that do it big.
Mm.
Do it big. And they not doing that, but they do it big.
Right.
And it's because they got fans, they got support, and they keep going and they keep making music.
Yeah.
And you never know. And the real thing about it is it might be something like that might be what you're supposed to do, mm-hmm. but you might not be doing the right thing in what you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Like you might be making R&B music and you're really supposed to be making gospel. Uh-huh. I'm just being honest. Not even him. I'm just talking about anybody. You know, some rappers might be rapping, but they really supposed to be doing R&B.
Yes. Yeah.
And you'd be like, you know what I mean? Cause, you know, to be honest, like I ain't no no very spiritual person, but I do have spirituality. And I do know that, and I know this for a fact, like God will put you with it when it's your purpose mm-hmm. and your path, he'll put you there. Absolutely. And sometimes we be trying to go against the grain. God be like, man, ooh. When you listen to man, what I tell you to do, listen. It's gonna pop.
Listen.
And then and then you might do it. You might do what he tell you, and you do it and be like, damn, there you go.
Right there. If I just listen.
But a lot of people don't. A lot of people don't listen. We all hard-headed. I've been hard-headed my whole life. I listen to certain stuff, listen. But I've been hard-headed my whole life.
That's the truth, because literally, he was telling me for a long time, you need to train. You need to train. I'm not training nobody. No. People keep asking me, how did you do this? Oh, man, people getting on my nerves. As soon as I really just set out and created my program,
just took off. See?
Everybody know the core queen. I go places. You the core queen?
I'm right.
Media, huh? See, I'm like, oh, that's pretty.
You
know what I'm saying?
You been had the gift. You just holding it back. You was holding yourself back.
I mean, seriously, yeah. Really was.
A lot of people do that though. A lot of people don't realize that they're afraid of success. Like I'm not afraid of. I talk like a lot of people talk about if I do this, if I do that, but they're afraid to take the step to do it. Execution. And then when they take the step and they do it, they're like, damn, it took off. You been holding yourself back. Stop holding yourself back.
My mentor said most people's change just takes 2 millimeters of a. That's adjustment it. And your life will take off.
That's it.
That's crazy.
That's the truth, though.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
All right. Well, I'm going to take a 2 millimeter adjustment and change this conversation. Okay. Well, let's go. I want to get in your head about some stuff.
Go ahead.
Because I know you know who Jeezy the Snowman is.
Jeezy the Snowman.
Hey. So, of course, he just recently did an interview with Neil Long, which I thought was an amazing interview.
Loved it.
And he made a statement that when we, as in Black men, are at our lowest, that's when we need Black women. The most.
Absolutely.
Well, my question is, why can't y'all need Black women at your highest?
I don't think when he made that statement, and I don't want to speak for Jeezy, but I don't think when he made that statement, like he wasn't saying that we don't need y'all when we at our highest. I'm thinking like, well, we are really, really down on our luck. We really down in the gutter. Like,
if you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
We done. We had the point. I don't know if I want to wake up in the morning. Mm-hmm. We need that Black woman, that Black queen to come tell us, bro, it's going to be all right. You remember Method Man got a song, You're All I Need. Mm-hmm. In the song, he said, she's to rub me on my back and tell me, baby, it'll be okay. Mm-hmm. That's what we need. That's what he was talking about. So, like, we going, like, back to the LeBron situation. When we at our highs, we going to make sure y'all good. If you made sure I was good when I was at my lowest.
And maybe, and I agree with all of that. I know for sure, like, I've never had to.
Yeah.
But I think I was reading a lot of things about that statement in particular from Black women who were offended because his wife isn't Black. And they like, oh, well, now he at his lowest and getting divorced and now he want to come back.
Nah, it ain't even that, though. See, they trying young. Like, Young is like, Young, you know, he date Black women. It's not that he shun Black women. Like, I don't want none of y'all. He date Black women. Like,
but he ain't
married
one.
But he found love. Why you hating on somebody who found love? I'm just talking about people. Why you gonna hate on somebody who found love where they found love? At that point in my life, where I was in my life, it wasn't like, for a lot of people, love ain't no color thing. Love is really a feeling. How you make me feel, how I make you feel. Mm-hmm. And that's probably where he was at that moment in his life. Now, you know what I mean? It's not that he was at his lowest and I'm coming back to Black women. It's like, I see that the love that we had is not there anymore. So I'm going to make a change. Whether she was Black, white, Chinese, purple, it didn't matter. It was him. I'm making a change and adjustment as a man. So, like, if Black women will be like, no, don't come back over here now. That's crazy as hell.
They ain't going to do that.
I'm just saying, right. But I'm just saying that's crazy as hell. But not some Black women will, though, because they said it.
Well, most Black women,
he wouldn't date them
anyway.
Yeah, you're right. But I'm just saying, though. But why even be like that? With any man, not if he needs Jesus, just any man. Why would you be like that?
I don't know. I think maybe the statement just rubbed in the wrong way. I don't know. And this is, we're talking about women that are projecting too, though.
Yeah.
So they projecting their own shit.
Of course.
Onto him.
Of course.
And it ain't had nothing to do with them because he would never choose them anyway. So.
But the thing, I mean, that whole statement is he was just big. It was a big up to black women. You know what I mean? And I think he's not only speaking from a relationship standpoint, we're talking about from your mama, from your sister, from your aunties. You need that black woman to tell you, hey, little black boy, hey, little black man, this is who you are. You need people to remind you of who you are.
Yes,
And nobody can do that better than your mom, your sister, or a black woman that has been in your corner or been around you who knows who you are. Because a lot of times we as men, not that we forget who we are, we kind of subdue it. Mm. We kind of subdue it in certain situations.
Yeah.
And sometimes it take that woman to say, hey, nigga, you somebody too.
Yeah. Because y'all are so used to uplifting other people and y'all don't ever get poured back into in that way.
Absolutely. That's one part of it. So, I mean, that's what he was saying. You know, people going to take the statement and make it what they was. But
I was happy that he actually chose Nia Long.
Oh, absolutely.
The interview. Ooh.
She did a great job.
She need a talk show. Amazing.
Y'all get Nia Long a talk show and bring me on there because I love her.
She was amazing.
I'm going in.
And especially because Jesus don't really talk.
Well, I think he's at a different point in his life. He didn't talk before because of things he was into. You know what I mean? Things how he was moving.
Right.
And he talk about that now. Like when I was moving in, I don't want to talk. You know, that ain't what we do. But now I'm like men grow up.
Yeah.
Everybody grows up. Or they grow at a different stages of life. He just at a different point in his life. It's like, let me share this. Like, he's always shared his life on records.
Yeah.
But now let me show y'all my life with y'all another way. Let me show y'all this different. And that's what people talk about. Like, why rappers always talk about the same thing? Okay. Well, now you're talking about the same thing on records. Y'all don't want to buy them records. So let me go back and talk about the same thing on records. But let me tell you the rest of my life in a book, New York bestseller. Let me show you that in the book. And let me sit down and have a real conversation because y'all say men don't talk.
Did you see the interview with on the Pivot podcast with Channing Crowder?
Nah.
Where they were talking about Jeezy's album.
Nah, I didn't see that.
It was pretty disturbing, actually.
Oh, why?
Yeah, because they was trying to what's the other guy's name that hosted Ryan Clark?
Yeah.
He was talking about how black people are so upset. They're always talking about rappers rapping, like you just said.
Right.
I was talking about the same stuff.
Right.
So he was like, okay, well, and then Channing said, well, don't nobody want to hear no old rapper rapping about this and that. And he was like, just like Jeezy, I want to hear the old Jeezy. Now he rapping about this. I don't want to hear that.
Actually, I love the album.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
I love the album. I listen to the album top to bottom. All 26 songs, 27 songs. I love the album. And he talk about some of the same stuff, but he also talk about, you know, stuff he's been through, like with his mama, stuff like that. Like, man, that's crazy.
Channing
like,
was saying he didn't want to hear no rapper talking about no investments or nothing like that.
That's why you losing. Jay-Z talk about investment from day one.
That's where Ryan Clark said. He was like, well, Jay-Z raps about that kind of stuff. So why is it different? I'm like, you know what? I can't.
I want to hear him talk because I need to see what I need to be doing my life. Talk about it. And let pimp me to something. That's wrong with black people. You don't want to hear something that's gonna help him.
He said he influenced him to buy an orange, an old school. He paid $80,000 for it.
He influenced you to do that, but I can't influence you to take that same $80,000 and buy some property and make that $80,380. You don't want that influence.
Don't want
that. That's stupid. I ain't one of them.
I don't know.
Tell me, bro. Show me how the game go. Because I want to know.
Please. I'm taking notes.
I love, like, I love the album. So.
Okay. Yeah. I thought it was great. I love Jeezy. I'm a huge Jeezy fan.
I am too.
I loved it too.
I am.
So apparently I ruffled some feathers the other day. I do it every day. I don't really care.
What you do to them people?
And I try to be equal opportunity type of chick.
When
I ruffle feathers. Yes.
Oh, okay.
I piss off women and I piss off men. But I do it on purpose with a reason, though.
Okay.
Because I want us to really start to get into the healing side of things.
Oh, you want us to get the healing? Yes. So you got to piss us off to make us heal.
Well, I just post questions that people just don't ask.
Okay, so how did you piss
people off?
Even
though I think we need to ask the questions.
Okay, how did you piss
So I asked, why do so many black men hit their financial stride so late in life?
Oh. Wow. Is that what you said?
That's what I said. And I upset so many people.
You did? I wouldn't have been upset by that.
I just want to know.
I don't know how to answer that. I mean, I do know how to answer the question, but I would say because actually, no. You want me to be honest?
Absolutely.
A lot of black men are the men of their households at a young age. Mm. Think about it. If you got a single parent household, mm-hmm. she got a son, mm-hmm. who's the man of the household?
The son.
The son's going to be the man of the household. So I'm being a man of the household when I don't even know how to be a man. Mm-hmm. So if I don't got nobody to teach me how to be a man, my mom's going to do the best she can. She might bring some dudes around to teach me the best they can. Mm-hmm. But if I'm really not learning how to be that, how do I know? So that would be my answer to that. I think I was raised by a single mom who did a phenomenal job. Mm-hmm. She taught me everything, you know, from hustling to everything, how to move, how to finagle with people, how to do this, how to do that. Mm-hmm. She taught me everything. But at the same time, there was a part of me that missed on some certain things because my dad didn't live in the household, mm. or my dad didn't come around, or my dad didn't stand on his business when it came to promises. So fortunately for me, my mom was a big financial person. Mm. Like she learned about finances late, but she always knew about money and how to get money and how to have money. So she taught all her kids that, you know, me, even my brother and my sister, she taught all of that. And my cousins, everybody, mm-hmm. my whole family, like she taught us that. So she told us how, you know, if we wanted to be successful, what it was going to take to play the game, how to play the game.
Okay.
But I think if you don't have that in your household, for men, you miss out on that. And then what happens is a lot of men, I want to take care of my mama because my mom was a single mama, right? So now I got to go out here and hustle. Do you know what happened when I go out there and hustle? I catch them charges. Because I'm trying to take care of the house, right? Mm-hmm. Or I'm trying to, if I ain't trying to take care of the house, I'm trying to take care of me so my mama don't have that burden. Mm-hmm. Or my auntie or my grandma, because a lot of men raised by their grandma. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to have that burden, so I'm going to go out here and hustle. I'm going to be around the dudes to hustle. And if I'm around the dudes to hustle, a lot of them didn't go to school. Mm-hmm. They didn't get that because from the older generation, they didn't go to college like that.
No.
They either had a trade or they worked in a factory or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they're not making me or they're not telling me like this is what I need to do. They showing me a different way. So the way that they make money is not at a high level. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you're a female in the household, you're told from day one how to be successful for the most part. You're told you need to go to school. 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 Mm-hmm. Or you need to do this. Y'all, females are just getting trained different. I think now it's changing mm-hmm. as far as men hitting their financial stride earlier. Because we all learn different and we got more two-parent households.
Mm,
you know what I mean? And even if it's not a two-parent household, you got more men who are co-parent.
Right.
You know what I mean? A lot of men are involved in their kids' life. Mm-hmm. So now I got to join you for 4 or 5 days. Let me tell you, you know what I mean? So it's changing. But that would be my answer. I think, you know, for a long time, it was a lot of single-parent households.
I agree. I think that's one of the big issues.
Yeah.
Big issues. I also believe that a lot of younger, at least people that I know, a lot of men are taught early about like the importance of sleeping with a lot of women and they get distracted really early. So they do that.
Now, these moms don't be wanting to sleep with nobody, but go ahead.
No, but I mean, they're still doing it though. That, and then they're also, I think a lot of times, like we talked about earlier, like a lot of people are chasing these dreams that aren't lucrative right yeah. away. So it's going to take a long time to get that. They're not taught, like you said, to go get a trade or to go to yeah. school. So they're like, I'm going to go to the studio.
Yeah.
And so they're like, their whole 20s, they're really wasting trying to figure it out. And it's like, nobody's around pushing them. Like, no, focus.
Right.
Don't do right. that. You got to, because we had my other podcast, we had a panel of, I think it was like 4 women, mm-hmm. 2 men.
Mm-hmm.
And we ask each person mm-hmm. to sit there for a few seconds and just think about the people that you know in your circle or just around you.
Mm-hmm.
How many of the men that you know have their own car, apartment, house, whatever?
I don't even hang around people that ain't got their own car.
And it's like, literally, we always like.
I hate picking people up.
He was like, oh, you know what? That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It was hard to even come up with yeah. 1 or 2 people.
Wow.
And this was like.
Y'all need some better friends.
But it's just like, I have to remove myself because I'm military. So yeah, that's a whole different lifestyle.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But like, if I think about the people at home that I grew up with.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's scarce.
Well, another thing about it is now, this generation now can make money at such a young age.
Easy.
Like, they can make money so young, like guys, men and women.
Yep.
Like from gaming, from social media, they can make so much money. Even if playing basketball now, you get NIL deals or NIL deals where, you know, you 15, you might have $1 million in the bank.
Yeah.
So I think now men are hitting their financial stride earlier.
Yeah.
But probably for the question you posed was probably for a generation about 35, 40.
Well, the average age for a man to hit their financial stride is 55 for black men.
God, that's
pretty bad shit. Yeah. So I just want,
for women.
I think it was like, for black women, it was 40 something. It's still late though.
Yeah.
We still so behind.
I mean,
because we got all these baby mamas. They're not being responsible with their wounds. It's just ridiculous. Like, people out here doing stuff that feel good and it ain't making no money.
Yeah.
Kind of like the fame thing.
Yeah.
Feel good, but it ain't got no making money. No money.
Can we do both? Can we feel good and make money?
Please, because I need my check.
You need the,
I need my check. I'm sorry.
Absolutely. I need that bag.
And a lot of times, too, people aren't willing to make a lot of sacrifices either.
Yeah, this new generation do not believe in sacrifice.
No.
At all.
No.
I know because we had interns come through and, you know, just watching, you know, youth that I deal with on a daily or on a weekly basis. They don't believe in sacrifice at all. A lot of them don't.
Because everything is disposable to them.
Yeah, they're like, if it take too much work, I don't do that.
You can see on social media, they're like, I ain't reading all that.
Yeah, I ain't doing that. It's beyond, I don't even know what's after microwave, but whatever generation after microwave. This whatever faster than the microwave, that's what generation this is. It's way faster than the microwave.
Oh my God. Yeah. I don't know. So my last question for you, since the Super Bowl is coming up.
Okay.
And Usher will be performing, which I think is outstanding.
Yeah.
I love Usher.
You saw him in Vegas?
I didn't get to go.
See, that's the thing too. Like, I need to get out of there. I ain't got nobody to go with.
Well, I'm military, so I'm all about operational security.
You military, you should be good.
I need a wingman. I can't go by myself.
No, you don't.
I'm a female. I'm not going nowhere by myself.
You can beat some ass though. You're a female.
I ain't going nowhere, but I don't got time.
People don't buy, like, the thing about going, because I go
play. Human trafficking is real.
You probably gonna try to kill him later today. You military, you strong, you can fight. You ain't listen, anybody. But here's the thing though. Like I go places by myself. Like, I used to be like that. I ain't going if I ain't got nowhere. I learned, like, you got to do stuff because people will hold you back.
I'll go some places by myself, but you may not notice, I have severe anxiety.
Oh, okay.
So I'm probably not, I have to have somebody with me. So
I ain't like that. I used to be like that, but I ain't like that no more. I'll go.
You know,
I get on a plane.
Fuck you up.
Go, man. You got, and plus you need that type of me time.
I have a lot of me time. I work from home. I don't.
That's not me time. You working. She not working. Yeah, she playing with them people money.
Don't do that. I need my money now. Don't do that.
You said it. But what was the question?
So who do you want to see him bring out?
Usher, Jermaine Dupri, Lil Jon. They got to do. Lovers and Friends. They got you.
Yeah.
Usher, if you get on the Super Bowl, you'll do Lovers and Friends. I'm cussing you out. I promise you, I'm gonna cuss you out.
Got to do Lovers.
You got to do Lovers and Friends. Who else? Nicki Minaj. He got a song with Nicki Minaj. I would love to bring out. That would be dope. Usher, Nicki, Drake. Because he did Dreamville. But Usher like that though. But he definitely got to bring out Jermaine Dupri, because Jermaine Dupri got him started. How you gonna bring out something like that?
It's gonna be a whole reunion if he brings.
Got to do him Bow Wow, and you got to bring out Lil Jon and Luda. You got to do Lovers and Friends.
That's gonna be so
on a worldwide scale. You got to do that.
Yeah, that song just
song
never
like
gets old.
I gotta hear him hit it. He gotta do that. He gotta do that in the football. He gotta do that. You gotta do that in the Super Bowl.
Did you see when, what was it, last week when Atlanta did the 50 years of hip hop and Ludacris came down?
Yeah. They won that game too. That was, they were turned up.
Dope, man.
They actually lead the division. That's so trash. Atlanta lead the Southern Division with like five wins. That's so trash.
Yeah, that division.
The South is trash. The NFC South, not the South.
NFC South. NFC. Yeah. Trash. You are crazy. That daggone Ludacris, man. He's so special.
It was dope.
Oh, yeah, so. Did you see the Soul Train Awards when T-Pain performed?
I didn't watch
that. I just saw that little piece.
I didn't see.
T-Pain.
Oh no, the thing about T-Pain is T-Pain got hits.
Man,
I saw T-Pain perform at Dream. I've seen T-Pain perform a couple times, but he did Dreamville not this year, but last year. Man, he killed it. Man. And what he kept saying is, "Oh yeah, I forgot I got hits."
Man,
and he kept bringing them.
And that's what he did at the Soul Train.
T-Pain definitely got hits.
And then my future ex-husband brought him out.
Your future ex-husband? Who is that? You gonna marry him, then divorce him?
I need a fan.
Who is it?
David Banner.
You love that? That's my dog. I can call him right now.
Listen,
that's my dog. When I tell you that's my dog, that's my dog. That's another one of the rappers that's real in another type of way.
That is the only.
He's a real guy. Like he called, like Dave called. Dave, Peter, Pablo, Pastor Troy called, check on your boy. They be like, "Yo, you good? Like I saw you post something. Just want to check out when my mom died." David Banner called, Petey called. Pastor Troy called, checked on me. You know what I mean? Shout out to them dudes. Yeah. Now, David Banner, a real dude.
David Banner is the only person on this planet that would fan out over.
You a fan? For real?
I don't fan out over nobody.
I brought David Banner for my celebrity basketball game years ago.
Everybody, listen. Other podcasts, they'd be like, "Guess what? I saw David Banner." I'm like, "Where? Where was he at? Like, I don't act like that with nobody.
I'm going to bring him to the city. I'm going to bring him to the city.
I'm going to pass out.
I'm going to bring him to the city. I'm going to let you live your dream.
Larry, I'm going to let you be famous. I'm telling you, I'm going to pass out.
That's my dog.
Man there.
Ooh, David Banner, my dog. David.
Let me get it together. See what he do to me?
That's what he do to you? What is it about David Banner?
He is so smart.
He's smart.
Like, his passion is just, is just everything.
This is Court Queen Podcast. I'm Nola Miller. Breaking on my water fast. Yo.
Listen, look, this was so good. I learned so much about you that I didn't know, and I've encountered you a million times.
You'll be talking to me.
What? I hope to see you at this holiday party.
Yeah, I might slide in there.
I ain't gonna stay with it.
I might slide in there.
Hope you come. I want to have a good time. If you say they don't dance, we dancing. We gonna
y'all go ahead.
Turned up. I got five dresses I gotta choose from.
And I come in there in a sweatsuit.
This ain't my event. You can call however you want to call.
They don't even let you in there. They gonna wait till you get to the door. They gonna turn your way on the street. You in the wrong. This ain't it.
Oh my God. Well, y'all listen. This is No Limit Larry. Everybody know him. If you don't, you know him now.
Oh wow.
I don't know if you got anything that you want to promote or tell people about.
Always. I got my own podcast. Let Me Talk Podcast. We'll be back in January. You follow us on the gram at Let Me Talk Podcast. Of course, follow me on the gram at I Am No Limit Larry. Why wouldn't you do that?
Period.
On everything, all platforms, I Am No Limit Larry on everything. That's TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram, everything but Facebook. Facebook is my real name. They made me use my real name.
Oh, they hated on you like that.
Yeah,
that's messed up.
But I'm there.
And make sure y'all check him out and see why he mad, because Larry be mad.
Hottest hashtag, not on Instagram no more, in the world, hashtag Larry Mad. I was in Texas and a dude stopped me and was like, "Yo, bro, you do that same mad thing." I was like, "Yeah." I was in Steak 48 in Texas. That's me. He's like, "Bro, that should be funny." I was like, "Man, appreciate it, but yeah." Hashtag Larry Mad, part of the hashtag.
That's what's up. Well, y'all know who I am. I am the Core Queen, and I help individuals lose weight.
How can I do that? Can I get a couple of sessions?
You on your fast now.
Right,
so
it's the day.
Once you start eating.
Next week.
When you start eating again,
yeah,
we're going to do a session. We're going to record it so people can see me work you out.
Kill me.
I got him.
I'm coming. All right, for sure. I'm in there.
We're going to do a session. Be ready now. Make sure you drink your water and stretch.
Oh, my God. Never mind. I changed my mind. I just want to be fat. Just let me be fat.
I get you right.
Let me be fat. Never mind.
Listen.
What would you say to generation? If you got to do the work, you don't want to do it.
There you go.
I'm about to be like them. Never mind.
I done had a couple clients. I'm like, okay, y'all just all right.
Never mind. I quit.
Listen.
I quit already.
But if you your bitches got big backs, I can help you out. You know, no sugarcoating over here.
Damn.
I help you lose weight, get in amazing
the
shape.
Big back bitches, you help them out.
I help them out.
Some dudes like big back bitches though.
That's fine, but I don't want them to die. Right?
I don't want you to die.
I want you to have a heart attack. You got to get your mega knees together. You know, they ride for 1 second and they done. Check engine light. Come on.
I mean,
I'm trying to get you together. I'm trying to help y'all out.
I'm gonna be quiet.
You know, if you eat good, you taste good.
This about to go
viral.
That's
all I'm saying.
You taste good if you eat good.
Yeah, you are what you eat.
What they supposed to eat?
Pineapples.
Ooh.
Drink your water.
Ooh.
Lay off the meat.
This for the men too. If you eat,
and men too. Yeah, absolutely. Men too.
Pineapples, mango, strawberry. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
That's another podcast.
It's crazy. Gonna have to do the Court Queen podcast after dark.
After dark. Sign me up for that. We're gonna cut the light down.
We're gonna put the red light on.
We finna
do
all that.
Oh my God. Y'all gonna have Jay Adams in here like, what the hell?
There's some strippers and everything.
Listen, y'all, make sure y'all subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hit that notification bell down there. Like and comment and tell your people about the Court Queen podcast. We over here getting lit, talking shit. And getting fit, y'all, physically, mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. I am the Core Queen. Y'all check me out. Tell your people to tell your people to tell your people. And we out.